Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. We are still waiting word via smoke signal, via press release, via press conference from Stillwater, Oklahoma. No word yet. Joining me is Kyle Porter. Kyle, I thought we'd be talking about not only Ford being gone, but a new coach coming up. But we're still waiting on word from Ford.
Well, I sent the bird that's sometimes in my office up to – I sent him up to Stillwater to bring –
Sent a raven?
Yeah, to bring back an olive branch to, you know, signal that that this thing is a done deal. I'm shocked. I mean, I was surprised, I think, that – so we're taping this at 1 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday. I was surprised that they didn't do it on Monday, but it sort of made sense because you had an OSU baseball game going on. Then you had the NCAA women's tournament announcement, and it doesn't look great to try to cut in and especially with the women to overshadow that. But I'm shocked that they haven't announced anything as of Tuesday morning.
Me too. Once it got through the weekend and we got to Monday, I didn't think it would happen on Monday because I figured they would meet on Monday, go over everything, make the decision, and then on Tuesday we would get a release or a press conference or something. And it's 1 o'clock Tuesday and we haven't heard a peep. So I'm like you. I thought you got to get this done for two reasons. One, it's only fair to Travis so he can go look for another job. And two, you don't want to miss out on other candidates, which could very well happen if you drag your feet too long. Now, there's a report out from the Tulsa World, Bill Haston and Mark Cooper, saying that they're perhaps waiting for Travis to get another job, which to me is just that he's a candidate for other jobs, which to me is insane. How can you be a candidate for another job while you still have a job? How does that make any sense?
I don't know. I don't get it. And it sort of feels like the Celtics trading Doc Rivers to the Clippers or something. It's like, are we going to, like, trade him to
TCU for a prospect to be named later?
I mean, give us some defensive linemen or something and we can do that. But it is strange, and there was another report in that Tulsa World article, which people should go read, about how Oklahoma State's formed a search committee, but they haven't announced anything. It's very odd, and it has to be money related, I would think, because there's this whole idea that, you know, and I wrote about this at the end of last week, but if Ford gets fired, you don't owe him $7.2 million. You owe him $7.2 million minus what he makes at his next job. Now, that can be paid monthly, as is stated in the contract, but I would think it's being sort of negotiated into a lump sum. And when you factor in the fact that he might have a new job, it feels like there's kind of a lot going on there. But other schools haven't had any issues firing people. Stanford fired Johnny Dawkins yesterday. I mean, I don't know.
TCU fired Trent Johnson.
It's kind of strange, right? Like it feels a little weird. If we get through Tuesday without an announcement, I'm going to be officially hitting the panic button, I think.
It is strange, and it does kind of, in hindsight, make sense once you read that article that Travis knows he's being let go. OSU knew he was going to be let go. Travis needs to – I think it's to the point now where he might even just resign and take the job that he wants, and then they come to an agreement of some type of that to where it's best for both parties. Travis gets a job that he would like, a job that he's probably wanting to interview for right now. And then, as you mentioned, OSU wouldn't have to pay the full buyout. They'd probably just pay a one lump sum and just move on down the road, because it's clear to me Travis still wants to keep coaching, which would be fantastic for Oklahoma State and the salary and everything. But
yeah, but if he resigns, he doesn't get the money, correct?
Well, if it's part of an agreement.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like they come to a verbal agreement with,
right,
you know, him wanting to take a job. I'm not sure how all the moving parts would work, but to me, it's clear that Travis has known this was coming, and he's already reached out to other schools, or else they wouldn't even have been waiting for this. They wouldn't even – like, how can you possibly consider Travis a candidate at other jobs while he's still the head coach? That, to me, just even saying it out loud is just insane to me.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it is. I mean,
I mean, where do we think he's talking to? St. Louis? TCU?
Is St. Louis open?
Louis is open.
My dad mentioned UTSA. Brooks Thompson just got fired from there.
They can't go back to the OSU, can they, after Brooks?
No. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a different thing, though. Ford didn't play there, obviously. But yeah, you go 5-, what was Brooks Thompson? 5-27 in his last year.
It was not good.
And I still have people say, and this is why I can't really, like, you have to pick and choose what you trust, but people still, like, want Brooks Thompson to be the head coach at Oklahoma State. It's like, he just went 5-27 and got fired from UTSA, and you want him to be anything more than, like, a fifth assistant? Like, what are you talking about?
That's where the wanting an OSU guy goes wrong, goes haywire, when you just blindly just disregard his resume. That's where it's silly. It never made sense for people to want Brooks. I mean, I like Brooks. He was a great player, but it just hadn't worked out for him coaching-wise.
Yeah, I agree. So where do we end up? Where does this end? Is this a 4:30 p.m. on a Tuesday press release, or does it get dragged? I mean, it can't get dragged out all week, because then you're into the tournament, and I mean, I don't know.
Gosh, if I had to guess, I'd say Wednesday with an actual press conference with Mike Holder. I don't think Travis would be there. It would just be a press with Mike Holder on his decision to let him go and where he goes forward with next. That would be my guess.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing is Oklahoma State, because this could be possible, is Oklahoma State trying to figure out what the best method for letting go of Ford is, and at the same time trying to hire somebody else? Like, do you think both of those things are going on, or are they getting the Ford stuff out of the way and then moving on? Because the search committee that was reported by the Tulsa World, and I have no reason to not believe this, I think this is probably or definitely what happened, is Mike Holder, Burns Hargis, a guy named Calvin Anthony, and then I can't remember the fourth guy, but I
believe, two regents.
Yeah,
basically.
I believe those are regents. And so it sort of sounds like that these two things are going on at once, which is a little bit messy. I don't know. The whole thing is not played out the way that I expected it, I guess.
Do any of those guys know anything about basketball, college basketball, on the search committee?
I mean, I can see.
I'm joking, but I mean seriously. Like, when they form this committee, okay, guys, let's go find a coach. Surely they're consulting other people that would, I guess, be extensions of that committee. They're not just going to go hire whoever they come up with on their own, surely. You know, like last time Holder went around the country and asked other coaches who we should talk to, and Ford's name kept coming up. So I get having a committee, but, like, to me, the big problem is none of these guys know anything about basketball. Like, they're better off just having Doug as the committee.
Yeah.
And then he can name himself. No, but he knows more about college basketball than any of those people. So, like, I don't even know how search committees work. Is that how they work? I mean, they just come up with names on their own? I mean, I don't know. The whole process seems confusing.
Well, I think a little bit of what's going on here, and if I remember correctly, the Tulsa World article stated that last time they did this, there was no search committee. Is that correct? Do you remember reading?
That's what the article said, yeah.
Okay, so I think what's happening here is Mike Holder performing a little CYA in terms of he knows this is a big hire, and he knows that this is really important, and so you can sort of spread out the responsibility a little bit. I mean, obviously he's still accountable. He's still the one that's calling the shots. But you can at least spread that responsibility out a little bit in terms of who you hire next.
Yeah, and basically they're just getting their ducks in a row, getting the powers that be at Oklahoma State on the same page, which I get. And is Boone going to be conference called in on this meeting, this committee?
I think it's presumed that all committees involving Oklahoma State athletics and have Boone Pickens as like an honorary chair.
Before they slam the gavel down, they call Boone.
Yeah. Just, you okay with this? Run it by his director of communications.
Do you want to go over some of the candidates?
Yes, I do. I wanted to, yeah, let's go ahead. You want to just throw some stuff out there?
Well, let me start with a guy who we've talked about before that I've kind of warmed up to a mm-hmm. little bit. Mm-hmm. Guy by the name of Brad Underwood.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. OKC Dave has I won't say he's been beating the drum, But he's nicked it a few times in my direction.
How so? Just throwing out his resume, throwing out some advanced stats.
He likes to drop his KenPom.com.
KenPom.com, that rattles off the tongue.
Profile page of Brad Underwood on me. And I have to admit, it's compelling. He's been the coach at Stephen F. Austin for the last few years. I can't remember how many years.
3 years.
But they've gone each year. I think they went from like ranked in the 50s in KenPom to the 40s to the 30s. Like the trend is nice. He's 52 years old, I believe. So he's a little bit older than what Ford was or what Sean Sutton was. He kind of looks like Greg McDermott to me.
The big dude, yeah.
The old Iowa State and now Creighton coach.
Yep, Dougie McBucket's dad.
Yeah, Dougie McB. What have you been?
Well, I don't have advanced stats. I got raw stats for you.
But they're in the tournament, by the way. They play
Huggins.
Yeah,
who Underwood coached under at K-State.
Underwood might be coaching for a spot in the Big 12 in that game.
Yeah, he might. And Underwood learned under Jack Hartman at K-State, and Hartman, for people to know, is an OSU, has OSU ties. He is 88-13 in 3 years with three tournament appearances in 3 years. He's 59-1 in conference.
Yeah, play. I did see that.
Granted, the Southland Conference stinks. I don't care if you're coaching on Mars. That is impressive. 59-1 in conference play, 88-13, three tournament
good.
Appearances.
That's pretty good.
That's very, very hard to ignore.
Who did they?
And the problem here for me, Kyle, though, on Brad Underwood is he's a Kansas State alum. Would you have another Travis Ford situation? Remember, Ford came to OSU, went to the tournament, and his alma mater, Kentucky, came open, and Holder absolutely panicked and gave him a 10-year deal. What if K-State comes open next year? Why is the coach at OSU? That would scare me.
But it's different because – or I think it's different because Kentucky's a destination generally. Kansas State is not. I think that's one of those deals where – if you have the chance to jump to a Kansas State from a Stephen F. Austin, then you do it. But you don't – I mean, I just don't – I mean, it's like Bill Self coming to Oklahoma State. Like, that's a step down or at best a lateral step.
Well, how about this? Huggins had K-State rolling, had Michael Beasley come into town, and he leaves for his alma mater, West Virginia.
Yeah, that's weird. I guess Frank Martin did the same type of thing.
Well, I think he just was fed up with K-State and just wanted out of there. More so than having any, I don't think he had any ties to South Carolina, but that's my point is, you know, the pool of your alma mater is something to be considered. And that would be very concerning for me if I was Mike Holder hiring a guy that has made it very clear he loves Kansas State. He loves Manhattan. So he probably ends up at K-State and it's a moot point because I think K-State might be firing Bruce Weber. They should. He's a terrible coach.
You think they'll fire him this year?
I think they should consider it. But, I mean, you think they would have done it by now. But then again, we're talking about OSU not getting rid of Ford yet. So, but, no, I've warmed up to Brad Underwood. I disparaged him earlier because he was kind of an unknown to me. But the more you dig into his resume and what he's done, it's hard to ignore. Now, the biggest concern for me would be K-State and the fact the Southland stinks. He needs to be coaching in the Big 12. Big step up.
Can I give you some teams that they beat this year or that they just played this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
They got smoked in the first game, right?
Baylor beat them by 40.
Yeah.
In the first game. Northern Iowa beat them by 10. That's Northern Iowa's good. They beat Our Lady of the Lake by 40, so that's impressive.
Are they related to the team that beat OSU? or wait, who was the team? OSU lost to Missouri State. Who did Missouri State lose to?
Oh, it was the name of a guy. It was
Joseph Morris or something?
Yeah, it was like Ralph Morris or... You look it up, and I'll go through the rest of there.
I'll look it up.
They beat Henderson State by 30. Good old Henderson. They lost to Arizona State. They lost to UAB, and then they won like 25 in a row because they're playing the likes of Incarnate Word,
Houston
Baptist, and Nicholls State. So whatever. I mean, their record is good. Obviously, they have been terrific the last 3 years. I don't know.
Who would you favor between Lady of the Lake and William Woods?
William Woods, the long lost Woods brother, is what somebody on Twitter said to me.
Who's favorite on a neutral court? I got to go with Lady of the Lake. I got to go with the ladies. But yeah, that's a big red flag to me, the Southland Conference.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess, like, still, he's like you said, he's 59-1 in conference play?
59-1, 88-13 the last 3 years. Three conference titles.
But to me,
dominated.
To me, this is all about, you know, what you don't, like, you're only picking one person, and so you're picking between, you have these choices, and it's like, it goes back to what Quaid said to me about, you know, he's like, you need to ask Carson, like, who would excite you more than Gottlieb? Does Brad Underwood excite you more than Doug Gottlieb? And maybe it's not about excitement. Maybe it doesn't matter. But I still think I would look at Doug.
I mean, I think you have to. I think it's hard to ignore Doug. And I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Mike Holder to not only consider Doug, but to hire Doug as far as former players, alums, boosters. It's to me, there's no better hire to make as far as if you want to get people talking about OSU basketball again. And we've been over it a lot, but like the fact that people just consider Doug a talking head's stupid. Like they need to consider his background, which we've been over a ton. I think Doug will get an interview. Now, if Doug gets an interview, I think his chances skyrocket at getting the job, because you and I have heard him talk, and you and I have heard him talk when the microphones weren't on about just his plan, what he would do, and it, you and I were ready to run through a wall. So I think if he gets in a room with Mike Holder, it'd be tough to turn him down. Now, you mentioned how big a hire this is. I don't know if Holder and the search committee can hire a guy with no experience.
Yeah, it takes some huevos to hire Doug Gottlieb.
Well, let's get back
right,
to Doug.
Right now, I guess that's what I'm saying. I don't mean generally. I think Doug would be fine, but
Let's finish on Doug. I got a few more candidates. Okay. I got a guy that would excite me.
Yes.
Guy I mentioned about a month and a half ago.
Maybe longer ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned probably mentioned in the last 2 or 3 years because I've been considering Ford getting the can for a while. Buzz Williams would fire me up.
I'm in. Let's do it. Sign me up. Well, I'm in. I think he has a buyout, like a significant one.
And it gets cut in half in like 2 weeks. So that's something to consider, is if this thing keeps going and going, they may have hired Buzz Williams.
That's a deep dive on research there.
I got to give Bill Haston credit for that. I think he just said it on the radio earlier. So okay. Bill mentioned the fact that Buzz's buyout goes down, which I had read too. Someone tweeted at me too, that his buyout gets cut in half. And the funniest thing ever to me, Orange Factor, the dude on Twitter.
Yes.
Like he got wind of Buzz Williams somehow and just started to just rip him and troll him and said he was not his coach and he didn't know, terrible coach, NIT. Like the guy has no idea what he's talking about because he just looks at the Virginia Tech resume.
Yeah.
He took over a dumpster fire of a basketball program at Va Tech. They won 11 games his first year. And he turned them around this year and they've won 19 games. They're seventh in the league. They beat two top 10 teams this year at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
And that's before you even get to Marquette. Which job he did at Marquette.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is Virginia Tech a step up from Marquette?
It's a step way down. And for people who don't know, a guy I know is a Marquette grad, you know, eats, sleeps, breathes Marquette basketball. And he kind of told me that.
He sends Christmas cards to D. Wade.
Yeah, I almost had to mute him on Twitter because all he does is tweet about Marquette basketball this time of year, which I don't care. But yeah, he's got a D. Wade jersey on right now. But he did not get along with the administration, which I guess would be a concern for him if he came to Stillwater and Mike Holder. I think that would be something they'd have to vet. But he wanted out ASAP to any Power 5 conference that offered him a job. He was gone. And it just so happens it was Va Tech. And they paid him a lot of money to come to Va Tech. But look at where Marquette is now. They're irrelevant. But his last year, they won 17 games, which is a disappointment. But they went to the Elite Eight the year before, Sweet 16 the year before that, Sweet 16 the year before that. Second round.
Take it.
So this guy, and he won the Big East, by the way, when the Big East was by far the best conference in America, at Marquette. I'd love to see what Marquette is right now. Let me look that up. But your thoughts on Buzz Williams. He would fire me up.
I have a PFB follower who has been – If OKC Dave has been like nicking the Brad Underwood drum, this guy has been like he's gone through like five drums on Buzz Williams. I'm in on him. I've read some stuff. I've watched some videos of him coaching kids and teaching, and I think he's awesome. I really do. I think it's difficult to get excited about college basketball coaches that you don't know or that are assistants or whatever, just because there's so many of them and. I mean, it's difficult to get excited about any kind of coach that you don't really know, but I feel like he understands how to teach and how to really just managing a bunch of kids. And I feel like that's something that I've read and seen in videos online that he's really good at. I know that sounds crazy, but there was one video I watched where he brought all these military people, these servicemen and women out on the court before, this was at Virginia Tech, like before their season started.
This is, yes. Yeah,
have you seen this?
This came out like this week.
Yeah.
A week ago.
And basically taught his team how to, basically how to stand and sing the national anthem, which sounds like an absurd thing. Like, who doesn't know how to do that? But it's not really about knowing how to sing the national anthem. It's about learning, methods, and it's about learning systems. And I told somebody it's like the modern day version of John Wooden teaching his team like how to put their socks and put their socks on and tie their shoes. So I love stuff like that. I'm a sucker for stuff like that. I would be in on Buzz Williams.
Yeah, that was a really cool video. I suggest everyone go look at it. And that's always kind of bothered me lately when I've been at games. Like, when the national anthem plays, people don't put their hands on their heart. They don't sing the song. Like, it's weird to me. Have you noticed that lately about national anthems? Like, people don't even, like, sing the national anthem anymore. Or put their hands on their heart. People just kind of put their hands behind their back and just stand there until it's over.
Yeah. I don't think I've noticed that, but I don't go to as many
games. I go to the Thunder games a lot, and it's really kind of bothered me. I don't know why. Maybe because I watch, like, soccer where the soccer teams will belt it out, like Italy just goes opera style and like have so much pride, and just it seems like it's been instilled in us just to be quiet during the anthem. I don't know, but anyway, that aside, my patriotism aside, Buzz Williams went to Oklahoma City University.
Yeah,
and he's from Texas, so the guy has inroads here, which Travis Ford did not have at all when he got here. I think that was part of his problem when he first got to OSU, is he had no connections at all to this part of the country, and I killed his first two recruiting classes.
Hey, hold on, we have a Jeff Goodman tweet.
Oh, we do?
It says
a live tweet.
Yeah, he just tweeted 4 minutes ago. It says Portland has parted ways with Eric Ravigno.
Oh, that's what you're bringing. I thought you were saying like press conference called, or I'm Skyping with Travis Ford right now. I'm periscoping with Travis. Travis, what's going on?
Okay,
Portland's coach?
I just wanted to run that by you real quick.
You got me like way too excited. But I've thought a lot about Buzz Williams for years. When OU came open, I thought they should have hired him. When Texas came open, I thought they should have hired him. So this is a guy I've followed for quite a while, and for him to end up at OSU, I think would be a huge win for OSU and a great hire.
Yep. Yeah, I would be all in on that. He's one of the guys to answer our buddy Quaid's question. He's one of the guys that I think would excite me as much, or probably more than Gottlieb, just because he's done it. He's taken, you know, they went to the Final Four with D Wade, didn't they?
That was pre Buzz Williams.
Oh,
that
was it?
That was probably Tom Crean.
Where was that's right. Where was Buzz before Marquette?
He was. I have it pulled up right here. He was a Marquette assistant from 07 to 08. That was pre-D Wade. He was an assistant at A&M during that time, and he's been at New Orleans. He's bounced around.
So his first head coaching job was at Marquette? Is that right?
I think his head coaching – he was a head coach at New Orleans from 06 to 07, then took an assistant job at Marquette.
Okay. Huh.
So, yeah, he's been a head coach since 07.
Okay.
Or 06, counting New Orleans.
Man, Marquette went – Marquette hit a couple of home runs there for a while with Crean and
yeah,
Buzz.
They've hired well. Now they got Wojciechowski.
You almost said Wojnarowski.
I know. It's Freudian slip.
Too much NBA.
They've had Rick Majerus coached at Marquette.
Wow.
Some big times. Tex Winter back in the 50s.
Big Tex. Tex Winter. Okay. He was with the Chicago Bulls, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was like in the front office too.
Yeah. Okay. Give me.
Yeah. My order would be like, obviously, you call Self. He says no.
Text. You don't even call.
You send a text, like just with the question mark.
By the way, did you see that? Speaking of planes flying over arenas, like we talked about last week, did you see the Steve Alford plane?
No.
Somebody flew a plane over Pauley Pavilion that said UCLA deserves better or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah, not good. It's not going well for Steve Alford in Westwood.
He's had a weird career. He started out in Iowa, then went to like New Mexico and got like a 2 seed, and now he's at UCLA and struggling. Yeah. He's had a weird career.
Didn't he have Jared Giddens at one point at New Mexico?
I think so. I think he transferred, from Kansas. Hmm. But my order would go Self, no. Greg Marshall probably says no.
Would you go Greg Marshall over Buzz and Gottlieb?
Yeah, I would. He's made a Final Four. Like, that's...
with Wichita State.
Yeah, like, that's hard to ignore. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And let's see here. He won at Winthrop. He was at Winthrop for about 9 years, which they were awesome when he was there, too. He won the Big South 7 times. He's won the conference he's in now 4 times. Naismith Coach of the Year. I mean, this guy's big time. But he makes a ton of money. The question is, could you pay him?
Yeah.
And I don't know if he'd leave Wichita State. He's turned down a lot of jobs the last couple of years. But I think you call him first after Self. But that'd be interesting if he answered the phone, what it would take to get him. So right after that's Buzz Williams for me. So that's my top. Top three, if you can call it that, with Bill Self being number one. Basically top two.
Yeah, you're top two.
Yeah. What about you?
I don't know. I've the only one that I've really thought about is Buzz, just because of this guy that's been emailing me. I say that like I've been annoyed by
it. Yeah, you say it like this guy is your...
Well, if he's...
consigliere.
No, if he's listening, like, I'm not annoyed by it. Like, I'm intrigued by it.
Email all coaching hires to Kyle Porter.
He is apparently friends with Buzz, and he doesn't know anything. He just thinks that he's a great coach, a great dude, et cetera, et cetera.
He'd be great. I would be all for it. Now, if you stand him, if I'm at a table, sitting at the head of the table like I am right now, and I have Doug Gottlieb on one side and Buzz Williams on the other side, that to me would be a tough decision. Because we've talked about Doug and the things he would bring. And just, God, selfishly for me working in the media, that would be just...
Oh, my gosh.
It'd be ungodly.
Yes.
But I think Buzz Williams could get the fan base excited, but just not to the extent of Doug. And I think Doug's ceiling might even be higher than Buzz Williams. Just the ceiling with Doug, to me, is the most intriguing part. I think he could recruit lights out. He would obviously bring all the fans back in a heartbeat, just get him on a microphone for 5 minutes. And just the ties with Eddie, like, there's just so much to like about Doug that it'd be hard for me to say no to him and hire Buzz. But I think Buzz is more proven as a coach. Buzz's floor is way higher than Doug's. That's the big difference.
Yeah, it definitely is. I will say I've been going back. I've been reading a lot of Fred Hoiberg columns from 2010.
Do tell.
The parallels between what went down at Iowa State in 2010 and what could potentially go down, and I'm going to write about this. I don't want to spoil all of it, but here's what's super interesting. 2006, I forgot who was the coach before Greg McDermott at Iowa State, but I think 2006, McDermott became the coach at Iowa State. Fred Hoiberg lobbied for the Iowa State head coaching job in 2006, way long time ago, decade ago.
Oh.
He didn't get it because Jamie Pollard, who's the athletic director at Iowa State, was new on the job. He didn't really know him. I think there was a quote he said, "Is this guy just a player who wants to like get into coaching? Like, what is going on? Like, he's never coached before." And then obviously, as Pollard grows in his role in his job, he gets to know Hoiberg better. He gets to know the history with Hoiberg at Iowa State and everything. And so there was a lot of talk about in 2010 when Iowa State was down it just being the right time. You know, it was great timing. We know he had never coached before, but he, you know, the thing that I found interesting is Pollard said, people said it was a risk for us, but we felt like Hoiberg was taking a risk because he was risking all this goodwill that he had built up with Iowans. I mean, he's from Iowa and everything.
He's the mayor.
Yeah, and so if it goes badly for him, like he just ruins that whole deal. And so I don't think there's as much of that with Gottlieb. But I think it's there, and I don't know. It was you need to go back. You need to just Google some of these old Hoiberg.
I've got a few tabs open right now.
Yeah, it's really fascinating because it's so similar to me to what's going on potentially with Gottlieb right now.
That's my thing with Gottlieb. There is no comeback. When people come at you and say, "Oh, Gottlieb, you want to hire an analyst? That's ridiculous." There's no comeback to Fred Hoiberg. If you just say Fred Hoiberg,
yeah,
like, "Oh, well, he coached the Minnesota Timber." No, he didn't coach.
No, he's
in the front office.
He wasn't even.
He was like a lackey. He was like assistant GM just because he played for him.
Yeah, and he like I think that people don't. He was in basketball operations. He wasn't like a.
He wasn't drafting people.
No, he was like basketball operations is like ticketing and like seriously, like
he might have like gone on a few scouting trips to like just some random college games, but it's not as if he was the one deciding which players to draft. Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the things he said, he's like, you know, I know that I don't know a lot, and I'm gonna have some lights out assistants, and I'm gonna pay them a lot, and I'm gonna lean on them a lot over the first couple years. And it's like, well, okay, that sounds great. Like, it's, I don't know. I get frustrated with the, well, he's never coached before stuff too, because it's, you know, it's.
Well, and you mentioned that Fred Hoiberg would be risking a lot. I think Doug would be risking far more. He has a much more prominent position that's hard to get than what Hoiberg was coming from. Now, Hoiberg obviously is the mayor and probably more beloved in Ames than Doug Gottlieb is in Stillwater. But I think risking the job he has at CBS to get into coaching would be a risk. Because then, let's say he flames out as a coach, which I think he'd be out of work 5 minutes. Someone would hire him to be an analyst because he's that good. But your credibility on Talking Hoops takes a bit of a hit. Like, you know, Steve Lavin's on TV every single time he gets fired, and when he comes up, I'm like, oh, that guy can't coach, so he's back on TV. What does he know? So I think Doug's reputation could take a massive hit if he fails as a coach, for sure, because he comes on there and shows himself to be an expert. He proves himself to be an expert. His credibility would take a big hit. And the parallels you mentioned between the programs could not be more right.
I was
looking
losing
at Iowa State right now. They're 15-17 before they hired Hoiberg.
Yeah, I was losing my mind as I'm reading all these quotes, and like I said, I'm gonna kind of lay them out in a piece whenever Ford gets fired, you know, advocating for Doug Gottlieb. But it was astounding how similar the situations were, and you know, obviously Iowa State was pretty lights out for the next 5 years. They went to a bunch of tournaments, won a ton of games. I think he was like 130-50 or something like that, 120-50. I mean, they were really, really good. And obviously he's coaching the Chicago Bulls now. So yeah. It's a great blueprint for if you're a Gottlieb guy.
I just got really sad thinking about Doug not being the coach. How depressing that would be.
This is my plan. That's what I'm hoping Mike Holder will read what I write, and he'll get really sad thinking about somebody other than Doug Gottlieb being the coach.
He checks his email. Just email it to him.
Yeah. Well, the other name that's been thrown out a lot, and I think obviously we're throwing out, other than Brad Underwood, we're throwing out names that would be like home run hires. Like we're not throwing out necessarily like probable hires, because we don't know those guys. Like we don't know the assistants at like St. Bonaventure.
That's a great reference. The Bonnies.
Yeah. Well, the OSU women are playing them in the first round. So I don't want people.
They're home runs, but they're also guys we would think would take the job. Like I don't think Bill Self or Greg Marshall would.
Yeah.
But Buzz Williams, I think, would take the job.
Well, this guy that I'm about to throw out here, I don't think would take it, but he would obviously be a home run. Jamie Dixon.
Yeah, that would be. I've soured on him.
Really?
His program has really, really gone down the last 5 years. Now, he used to be getting 1-2 seeds. His record is very. It's becoming Travis Ford-like, to be honest with you. They made the NIT last year. He made the third round of the tournament 3 years ago, but they finished tied for ninth in the ACC the past 2 years. Now, how much of that is an ACC thing? Because he was lights out in the Big East, but he would cost a fortune.
Yeah.
And I think his star has dimmed a little bit. When he the last go around, that's who I wanted. That was another guy I would have liked to have seen OSU hire. TCU grad. He knows this area.
They were CBI champions in 2012. Does that not impress you?
They still play the CBI?
Yeah.
Is OSU a first round
matchup? In there's that? Like six postseason tournaments.
And OSU's not in any of them?
And OSU's not in any of them.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, it is.
No, I mean, you could talk me into Jamie Dixon, but I think like if you give me Jamie Dixon or Doug Gottlieb, I think the ceiling is just way too hard to ignore with Doug as far as him opposed to Jamie Dixon.
I think we are we're not able to be objective about Gottlieb.
No,
and I think it's a lot. It has for me. It has less to do with him coming on this podcast and more just with him being an OSU guy and being somebody who I think is, like you said, would be an impressive recruiter.
Yeah, no, I go back to when he was campaigning for K-State. I thought he would be a great hire. I think a lot about Doug just in general, not so much the fact that. You know, he came on the podcast. I think obviously him being an OSU alum would help him greatly here, but I thought it would have been cool if K-State hired him.
But this might be a case of Doug being a backup quarterback, right? Like the backup's always better than the starter. Doug might be, who's the kid that transferred to Maryland a couple years ago? That's embarrassing.
Dax Garmon?
Doug might be Dax Garmon.
Big arm,
like big, looks like he's got a big game, and then you throw him in there, and it's like, I don't know what the F is going on.
Yeah. Well, that's the huge concern. That's basically why he's not the front runner.
Yeah, or he might be Tom Brady, you know?
Yeah, he could be Fred Hoiberg, who was lights out.
I think that's the second time I've compared Doug Gottlieb to Tom Brady, by the way, on this podcast in the last, like, month, which is odd.
Well, I'd like to see him get – like we've talked about this too. With where the OSU basketball program is, people can argue that it can get worse. Of course it can always get worse. But is it going to get worse than having 1,100 people in the stands and losing 20 games? I just cannot see Doug failing as hard as Travis Ford has.
Yeah.
I can't see it.
What is the – you're closer to this, and you might not know a ton about this, but what do you feel like the sentiment is among – Oklahoma media in terms of radio people, newspaper people, TV people, of whether they think that this is an absurd idea or not?
I think it's half and half. I think a lot think it would be a good idea. And I think the other half, mainly people who have no ties to OSU, which I think is what you need to listen to more so, is they just can't get past the fact he's never coached, which is, I fully admit, is a very hard barrier to go over. But the main criticism is you're really going to fire Travis Ford for $7 million or whatever it ends up being and hire a guy who's never coached. That is a gigantic risk, and it's such an important hire. I don't know if you can make that risk. That's the big criticism. Now, he does have a lot of support. There's a lot of people here locally that are mainly the guys he used to work with at Sports Animal are all in, and they think he would do a good job. Now, how much of that is the fact they know him and have worked with him?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean,
it's very hard.
If I'm Gottlieb, I just print out all the. I just find like literally like 100 Fred Hoiberg articles and print them out, and just have them ready. Like just hey, it's happened before. It's happened recently. It's happened in the Big 12. It's happened to a team Oklahoma State plays all the time. It's not like it happened at Monmouth or even like, you know, Florida. Like it happened at Iowa State. That's such
a very similar
exactly.
program
and a very similar situation. So, you know, I get it, but I also saw what Iowa State became and it was, it's pretty special. It's pretty cool because success is great, but success with somebody who everybody loves and was so beloved is a pretty cool era for Iowa State to be able to look back on.
And Hoiberg did not have a coaching background. His dad wasn't a coach. His brother wasn't a coach. As far as I know, maybe they were, but not to the level that Doug's were. And the fact that, you know, Hoiberg kind of pieced it together. Remember, he always had transfers coming in. Like he was kind of putting it together with glue. I think Doug would be lights out on the recruiting trail to where we wouldn't have to have – he'd probably have to have some transfers immediately to fix the roster they have now. But I think Doug would even take it up a notch in recruiting.
Yeah.
As far as players he could get, because Hoiberg had great teams, but they were all kind of just this haphazard group of four-year transfers every year, seemingly.
I think Doug would really try to get transfers too, because he saw how important they were to the Sutton era, or to Eddie Sutton's team.
And he'd be good at that too.
Yeah.
He'll transfer himself, so he knows how it works.
Yeah. Let's talk real quick about the NCAA tournament. Actually, before we do that, I want to ask you real quick. I was talking about this with my father-in-law over the weekend. We were trying to name all the places that Lon Kruger has coached at. Can you name them all?
Off the top of my head, Kansas State, Florida, UNLV, Oklahoma. That would be four. He coached the Atlanta Hawks. That'd be five.
Yeah.
And is that it?
Illinois.
Oh, yeah, Illinois. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was at Illinois, I think, right before Bill Self.
Is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He was 96 to 2000, and then he went to the Hawks, and I think Self took over in 2001 for Illinois.
I think Lon Kruger's only been past the Sweet 16. I don't know if he's been past the Sweet 16.
He went to the Elite Eight in 1988.
Oh, they lost to Kansas. That's right.
And then that's it. Went to the Sweet 16 with UNLV in 07. And yep. Sweet 16 last year with OU.
You better get past Sweet 16 this year, or OU fans will be livid because they got a cupcake region.
Well, that's what I want to talk about real quick. What do you have your Final Four filled out?
Yes, I do.
No,
I never feel great, but I did win all my brackets last year.
Your brackets? How many people, like, was it you and your dog? Like, who was in them?
No, I was in some big-time pools now. I mean, pools that aren't for money, of course, just for pride.
Yeah, of course.
But I basically faded Kentucky last year. I was the only one who picked Wisconsin to beat them in like basically every bracket.
Yeah,
so the Badgers helped me out quite a bit.
That's how to do it, though, right? Like, and I hate that I did this. I have Michigan State winning it all, which is stupid because
everyone's picking.
Everyone has Michigan State winning it all, and you can't, even if they do it, it doesn't benefit you. Like, it doesn't. Somebody else got more of the details correct in the first round than you did. So I don't know. I might need to go back and change that.
Yeah, that's why I'm not fired up about it too, because I have Michigan State winning it all as well. But I haven't thought Kansas was good all year. But can I pick Cal to beat them? No.
I've got Cal getting beat in the first round.
Oh my gosh. I think they're pretty good. Doug said they had like two lottery picks on their team.
Well, so did Texas.
Well, yeah. But I can't see Kansas losing to Cal or Maryland or Villanova or Miami. Like, I think Kansas is going to the Final Four. I got Kansas up there. And I don't see OU losing to A&M or Oregon or Baylor, for that matter. So I got Oklahoma. I got Kansas and Oklahoma, too. And I'm with you on the Big 12 being overrated this year. Other than Kansas and Oklahoma, I have every Big 12 team losing in the first round. I got Texas getting upset. I have Iowa State getting upset.
You got Brad Underwood over the fighting Huggies.
Oh, sorry. I got Huggy Bear in the Elite Eight.
Okay. There you go.
I got them going pretty far.
Yeah.
I got them losing to Kentucky. I got Kentucky in the other region as the Final Four.
Okay.
As a four seed. And then I have Michigan State. So I got Michigan State versus Kansas and then Michigan State winning it all. But okay. I'm with you. I don't want to pick Michigan State. It's too obvious.
Izzo's just so good. I mean,
he's too good.
He's so good. And Valentine, I mean, he has such an ability to take. I mean, he's a star. He's one of the two or three biggest stars in the tournament. So, you give me Izzo and an elite guy like that. That's tough. I mean,
and you can kind of argue that Izzo's due, right? He's only won one national championship. Yeah, he's been in like 12 Final Fours or whatever.
Was stunned to hear that. I didn't.
He's been to seven Final Fours and one. Well, he's only won one title.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I think he's due. That's the only reason I'm picking Michigan State is they're due, and you usually can't win your pool unless you get the champion right. So
yeah.
Even though everyone's gonna be picking it, you guys kind of got to roll with it.
I got I basically have no clue what I'm doing because I've not watched any
me either
college basketball outside of the Big 12. I'm and this is a problem, right? Like, I've probably watched Kansas too much because I'm not super impressed by them either. I mean, obviously they're really good and they're just super.
I'm only picking them because of Bill Self. I think Bill Self would just de-pants Quanzo Martin if they played in the Elite Eight or Sweet 16.
I hopefully that's a figurative thing and not not literally.
Well, it's not.
Literally. I got Villanova out of that region.
I got them losing. I got them losing to Iowa. My Hawkeye.
you're trying to make amends for.
I'm getting some goodwill back to Iowa.
So I've got Villanova against Oregon in on one side.
Ooh.
Well, hey, I'm just fading the whole field.
Yeah, you are.
When I first filled it out, I had OU. I think
that
OU,
said those are 1 and 2 seeds. It's not like you're that crazy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're like just appalled by my by my Final Four picks. I think OU is really, really good. Now, I don't think they're as good as they were earlier in the season.
I didn't want to pick them. I was gonna have them losing early until I saw their draw.
Yeah, it's hard to. I mean, they're good. And
they're flawed, but they got the best player in the country. So yeah, it's hard not to pick them.
Okay, so I got Villanova, Oregon, and then on the other side I got Xavier and Michigan State.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
I've got Xavier over Kentucky. I figure Kentucky probably.
How many Xavier games have you watched this year?
I don't even know
name a player?
No.
Or coach?
They got the guy from Cincinnati, don't they?
I can name the coach. Chris Mack. That's all I got, though.
Who
I think it's Chris.
Where was he? Yeah. Where was he at before?
I think you're right. I think he was at Cincy. Did Chris Mack come to Stillwater?
This is old man radio. Would Chris Mack come to Stillwater? He was at Wake. He was an assistant.
He was assistant at Xavier, yeah.
Those are our expert picks.
Let me ask you who your big upsets are in the first round.
I've got the Fighting Brad Underwoods in the Sweet 16.
Oh, I don't hate that pick. I don't think West Virginia is that good either. But
no, I don't either.
Huggins is hard to pick against.
Yeah, Huggins is good. I've got Hawaii over Cal, just because my man Matt Norlander had it. I'm just reading our plug.
Dude, Stephen F. Austin's going to the Sweet 16. I just changed my bracket as we're talking.
They're getting West Virginia's going to win by like 30.
I've got Stone Cold Steve Austin in the first round. There was a great tweet. I think it was Mark Titus said that this is the first time ever West Virginians will be rooting against Steve Austin.
That's an unbelievable
tweet.
That is a next level tweet.
Yeah.
Those are I think. Oh, I've got I don't even care, but I've got whoever wins the Vandy Wichita State game beating Arizona.
See, I like Zona. I've got them in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. The West bracket is weird because I've got it's like an old Big 12 mashup. I've got Oregon, Cincinnati, Baylor, Duke, Texas, Texas A&M, and then VCU and OU.
Yeah.
So
I mean, this sets up so well for Baylor. Baylor could make the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you my big upsets.
I hope Yale beats them.
That'd be funny. I think Yale's close to where they're at, and they're buying up tickets, so it might be a road game for Baylor. The Ivy League will be invading.
I like it.
My big first round upsets are, let's see here. I have UNC Wilmington beating Duke.
I almost picked that.
I think Duke stinks.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like that.
And I'm down on the Big 12. I got Northern Iowa over Texas.
I could see that. And again, it might be because I'm watching them too much. Texas doesn't do. I mean, I guess I compare all these teams to like how they played against Oklahoma State, and I'm like, Texas didn't really. I mean, Oklahoma State almost beat them. They're not that good.
They could get cold in a one game scenario. Now, Shaka Smart's hard to pick against. That's the only reservations I have. And they're getting Cam Ridley back at center, who's probably their best player. So that could be a bad pick. But I got to go with Northern Iowa for the Ali Farouk Maneshes of the world.
Yes, the Fighting Farouk Maneshes.
Okay, moving on. I got Fresno State over Utah. That's a 14 seed, by the way. That's a big pick.
Can you name either? Oh, the Fighting Caesars.
Cesar Guerrero.
Yes.
I need the Mexican assassin to turn back the clock. I forgot about him. Let's go, Cesar Guerrero. But I kind of have a strategy, Kyle. If I'm not picking like a high seed that far, I just go ahead and have him getting upset. So I got Utah going out to Fresno State. And I got the Zags. I take Gonzaga over Seton Hall. That's an 11 seed.
Yeah,
so I got, I got I got Gonzaga over Fresno. They go on to the Sweet 16 for me.
I've got Gonzaga in the Elite Eight.
Whoa, you got to beat in Michigan. Wait, they'd have to beat Michigan State.
Oh, no, I've got them in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, don't get too carried away now.
Yeah, I lost my mind there.
I have Iona over Iowa State.
Okay, I like
State
that.
Iowa State loses early every year.
Yeah, and I don't think they're that good.
No, they're down from what
I've said that about literally every Big 12 team we've talked about.
Yeah, and let's see who else I have. I have whoever wins the Michigan-Tulsa game over Notre Dame.
Yes, I like it.
So Stone Cold Steve Austin gets to play Michigan or Tulsa. Hopefully they play Tulsa.
That would be great. Winner gets the Oklahoma State job. I don't want Frank Hayes. Never mind.
No. He's got Missouri on double secret probation right now.
Yes, yes.
So that's it for my upsets.
That's fine. I like it.
So hopefully next time we talk, we'll have some news out of Stillwater.
Yeah, emergency pod. Okay, yeah, Thursday we will hopefully have news, have a guest, and yeah, it'll be fun. Maybe we'll start doing this podcast on video and start just live streaming to the world.
We should. Yeah. I'll have to do my hair or get a little more TV ready than I am right now.
Put a shirt on.
Yeah. You know, get fully clothed.
Okay, Carson, enjoy the week. March Madness starts, I guess, tonight. The Fightin' Bill Simmonses are playing.
Playing games tonight?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I thought they were Wednesday. Never mind.
There's two tonight and two on Wednesday.
Okay. Well, you got plans for the first round on Thursday?
I'll just...
Man caving it?
Yeah, just ignore everything that's going on with golf and watch hoops.
We should get like a Google Hangout with like OKC Dave and a million and just... watch all the games.
That would be amazing. OKC Dave would be like, he actually like does stuff. Me and you and a million. I mean, a million does stuff too, but he drives a lot. He's traveling.
Out of the office.
Yeah, so he can like not do stuff, but I don't. We might have to go underground with OKC Dave.
Yeah, I forget people have like regular jobs.
I know.
During the day.
I know. It's a bummer. Okay, we will talk to you on Thursday. We'll talk to you on Thursday right as the games are going on, I guess.
Okay, cool.
Should be fun.
Let's go UNC Wilmington. Let's go Stone Cold Steve Austin. Let's do this.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, man. See ya.